White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. I arrived back at camp, packed into the ambulance with 32 other women. We had our usual hair-raising drive, but most of the women didn't care, as they had to go to the hospital on some pretext, mainly to see the dentist, and had managed to see their husbands for a few minutes. Those with money smuggled food back, and others brought notes from husbands to wives. There was always terrific excitement in the camp when the ambulance returned. It was quite the event of the week. The children would run up and down the camp calling out, "Ambulance!" And everybody came out to meet the homecomers and to hear the latest news, which would turn into rumours of the most fantastic happenings. 11th of November, 1942. Armistice Day. We had an impromptu service in our house, and Mrs. Jennings, an Englishwoman who lives in the garage of House 9, sang for us. We wore our ragged uniforms, and as we hadn't any footwear, stood throughout barefooted.
God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget.
I don't think I could take that again.
Yes. A bit harrowing, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know when I felt so churned up.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Oh, she's given me a beautiful lump in my throat. Oh, come on, kids. Let's get out of your uniforms.
Yes, come on.
We keep them on too long, they'll fall to pieces.
We can't have that. We must keep them intact for when we get out of here. Early in December, I was put on to canteen committee and had to help cope with Goleng's shop that came into camp every Sunday. It was hard work, and always seemed to be done in the hottest part of the day.
Poor old Jeff. Look at her lugging that stuff around with Mrs. Jenkins.
Oh, it's no use offering to help. They won't let you do a thing.
Jeff! Jeff, you chump! Let's give you a hand.
Oh, your turn will come. I know one thing. I've decided on my occupation when I get home.
Something easy, I bet.
Yeah. I'm going to be a wharfie and move cargo.
Oh, look at that wretched native sitting in the shade and watching them. You'd think at least he'd give them a hand with the heavy fruit and sacks of hard beans.
Well, that's the lot, Mrs. Jenkins.
Oh, let's have a spell before we count and sort it. Come over here in the shade.
Oh, dear, it is hot. We have 4 more hours' work before we can call it a day.
Well, you would get selected for the canteen committee.
I had nothing to do with it. I suppose I was chosen because I looked fairly healthy.
This type of work's very good for your appendix, old girl.
And we'll just have to get used to it.
Oh, well, we'd better get moving again. You know, the job I hate most is dividing out the 2 tins of peanut oil into dozens of little bottles for the camp. There's always someone swears they've got less than the others.
Poor old Jean Ashton finds their trouble in their house.
They've certainly got some rather odd types living with them. And Jean says they're pretty hard to get on with, especially at ration time. And they wouldn't get far with Jean. Nobody's more honest than she is. And I bet they get their fair share down to the last grain of rice.
Before we realized it, we found Christmas was nearly with us. We'd been so sure that we'd be home for Christmas that nobody had given it much thought. But December was going very swiftly by, and we were still in prison camp.
Do you kids realize that Christmas is nearly on us and we're still in this dump?
Oh, we can take it, Gwen.
I know, but what's next? I mean, are we going to stay here for the rest of our lives?
Well, don't be pessimistic, Sister Davis. We'll be here till the war ends and then be released.
Yes, but when's that going to be, Sister James?
Well, no one can tell that. But it's no good fretting about it. We're here and that's the end of it.
What are we going to do about Christmas presents?
What can we do? We've got no money to buy anything, even if there was anything to buy. The English and the Dutch have been saving their precious sugar stuff. You know, the thing they call guala, to make sweets for the children.
I think we ought to make something from all of us as a present for the Aussie servicemen.
How would we get a present to them?
Oh, that's easy. It can be sent out on the ration cart, or Goleng would take it. The point is, what can we make?
Oh, we haven't got any more photos for cards. If we had some wood...
Well, what could we do, Reen?
We could make a mahjong set.
Oh, what a wonderful idea. Oh, I do wish we could.
Gee, that's
How's everyone?
Hello, Jean. Have you finished your chores, Sister Ashton?
Yes, all finished, Sister James.
We're just trying to think of a way of making a mahjong set as a Christmas present for the Aussie servicemen.
Mahjong?
Yeah.
I haven't played that for years. I used to love it.
I learned it in Singapore.
Oh, it would be a bit of an undertaking to make a set. Let's see. 36 pieces to each suit, apart from all the winds and dragons and things.
Well, I think we could do it if we could find some wood.
Well, there's a rafter we could take out of the roof of our house. But how do we cut it up?
Oh, we've got 2 old piles we found on the dump. We could do the first hacking with the axe.
Well, what are we waiting for? Oh, let's go and get the rafter.
You'll have the house falling on top of you if you're not careful.
We'll risk that, sister. Come on, kids.
How are you going, Wynne? How many more pieces?
Oh, another 20 to go. Some of the girls have found some leaves from a tree in the jungle that are like fine emery paper. So when we file the first roughness off, we can get a really satin finish on each piece.
Oh, wonderful! Yes. I asked one of the Dutch nuns, could we borrow a box of paint from her to paint the design?
Oh, that's good, Jean. I've been trying to think up ways of dyeing them, but the paints will be grand.
Have to have it finished by tomorrow, otherwise we'll miss the ration truck.
Well, with everyone working like beavers, that should be easy.
Give me that file for a while, Jeff. I'll give you a rest.
During the making of that set, there was no peace. Everyone put something into it, and it was good to have an occupation that wasn't an unpleasant chore. When it was finished, the set was really magnificent, and we were all very proud of it, and it was duly dispatched. We made a small box from a sewing pit to put it in. Other people in the camp had been making quite useful things from old sewing pits, or the straw sack things that sometimes came with the rations in them. There were bags, purses, hats, slippers, and needle cases. Dolls and handkerchiefs were made from scraps of material. There were belts made from rice sacks and games for the children. It was really a grand effort by all. 2 or 3 days before Christmas, Mrs. Brookhouse came to us and said...
Sister Jeff, the Choral Society wishes me to ask whether you Australian girls would like to join us in singing to the men for Christmas.
Oh, but how can we, Mrs. Brookhouse? We can't even see the men.
Oh, yes, we have discovered that on the veranda of House 2, we can see them in the distance each morning at evening.
But their camp isn't anywhere in sight.
They're building a camp about a mile away, so... They march from the jail each morning, and as they pass just in sight from House 2, we thought we could gather there and sing for them.
Oh, we'll be in it, but will they be allowed to stop and listen?
Each time they pass, they stop and wave to us, so perhaps they can stop a little longer on Christmas.
Oh, let's hope so.
Miss Driver will be rehearsing the Choral Society every afternoon from now on.
We all assembled on the veranda of House 2 on Christmas Eve, and waited for the men to go past on their way to work. As they came in sight, they paused and waved to us all, and we began to sing. They stopped dead and listened. Then, when the hymn was finished, they waved hankies, shirts, and hats, and called something that none of us could hear until one voice rang out above the others.
Thank you! Thank you!
2 days later, the men stopped at the same place and sang to us the same hymn in English and then in Dutch. Everyone wept. Preparations for Christmas went on. One afternoon, the Dutch children did a small play of the Nativity. They really looked like angels. The room of the house was darkened, and they played by candlelight. Nobody knew where the candles came from or where they went to. And the Japanese effort towards our Christmas dinner had come into the camp. They sold us one duck egg each, which we saved for breakfast on Christmas morning. The British and Dutch men in the Muntok jail sometimes managed to smuggle us bananas hidden somewhere in the ration truck. It visited their camp before coming to us, and they sent us a wonderful present via the truck for Christmas.
Kamu astrai, sinipetitari etanan, uran Muntok.
I don't know what he's talking about, Sister Harper.
He says there's a box for us from the men's camp in Muntok, Sister James.
Fancy them delivering it. You'd think they'd stick to it, like they do everything else we should have. Proper rations and everything.
Well, this time they've done the right thing. It must be the Christmas spirit.
What's happening?
There's a guard said there's a parcel for us from the men in Muntok. He's delivered it for us on the ration truck.
Well, what are we waiting for? Where is it?
Mani Petty.
Sene.
Oh, well, there's no need to throw it at us. It's a wonder it didn't break.
Come on, let's see if we can get into the house.
Oh, funny how much heavier everything seems now.
Wait a minute till I get a better grip.
I'll go in first.
Careful of the steps.
I'll take it out to the kitchen. There's more room there.
Oh, right.
Just a bit further.
I can't.
Made it.
Quick, let's open it.
What have you three got there? Hello, Ione.
Hello, Blanche.
We think it's a present.
Oh?
Well, we won't know that till we open it.
Well, here's a file. We can pry it open with that.
Gosh. Oh, careful, Ione. Don't break the box up too much. No, we can use it as a chair.
Right.
Now, one more heave.
Right.
Oh, that's it. Oh, look! A huge tin of something.
What is it, Sister James?
Oh, it's bully beans.
Oh, how wonderful of them.
Oh, but look! Some coffee! And kids, look at this. So
cool. Sister James!
Oh, wonderful. And look, down in the bottom are some pineapples.
Oh. Look, what's that piece of paper in the pineapple top?
Huh? Oh, where, Sister Harper?
Well, I've got it. Look, it's a note.
What's it say?
This is to help have a decent meal on Christmas Day.
Oh. They don't know just how much of a help. And just think, a real wash with soap.
We'll have to ration it out so everyone has a crack at it.
Sister Blanche, we'll take the food and divide it for the two houses.
I don't know when I've seen such beautiful Christmas presents.
Look here, girls. The most wonderful thing has happened.
Oh, hello, Trot. What are you all steamed up about?
Well, the men's camp have sent the women's camp a Christmas present.
We know, yes. Sister Trotter. We've just unpacked it.
Oh, Lord, we thought it was just for our two houses. Oh, it won't be such a feast after all.
What are you talking about?
A Christmas present.
Well, how could you know anything about it, Jeff? I was watching them unload the ration truck and saw the Japs give it to the ration officers. You weren't down there, were you?
Look, I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
No, different men, different hats.
What men? Which hats? I don't know what you're talking about, Ione.
Look, let's start at the beginning. As the ration truck came into the camp, they unloaded a box, which they said was a present to us from the men's camp in Muntock. Well, this is it.
Oh. Well, the British and Dutchmen have sent the whole of our camp a huge piece of beef, some tiny onions, and potatoes.
What?
Oh!
You mean real potatoes?
Real potatoes.
Oh.
And enough for the whole camp to have a meal without eating rice and that foul vegetable weed stuff.
Oh, you mean the kangkong. Ooh. Oh, it's filthy stuff. The only reason we get so much of it is that it thrives in the gutters and lakes around here.
It's being divided up now, and we can go down in about an hour and collect our ration.
I'm going down now to have a look at it. I've forgotten what beef looks like.
Or tastes like.
Yes, come on.
I wonder where they got it from.
Oh, goodness knows. But I'm glad they did.
What an excitement it was to have a decent-sized piece of meat in the house. We all kept going to where the cooks were working just to have a look at it. I don't think the men could possibly realize just what a grand thing they did for the whole camp by sending this food along. On Christmas morning, there was a terribly long combined English and Dutch service at 6 a.m. The cooking squad for the day were up very early and had tea and toast, made from rice, ready for us before we took off to church. It was a wonderful surprise. At church, one of the missionaries gave a short chat on how, 30 years ago today, she was saved from sin. We were fascinated and waited for more, but all we learned was that 30 years ago she'd been working in a Lancashire cotton mill. Well, at 9:30 there was another church service, English only this time, and at 11 a.m. we had an at-home.
Hi there, kids.
Anybody home?
Come in,
hello,
kids.
There.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Come in and see the Christmas tree Chris Oxley and Jenny Greer have made. Come
on.
Oh, look at it. Isn't it pretty?
Look at all those gay little twists of paper.
It's rather good.
Will we give it to them now, dear?
Yes, let's.
Hey, kids. Just quiet for a minute.
Why? You going to make a speech?
Bivvies.
Well, let's have a little hush. That's better. Now, Sister Bullwinkle is going to speak to us.
Oh, that sounds like a revival meeting. Well, don't gasp too much, Viv. We've had enough long speeches today.
Oh, you mean the sermons, Blanche. I could have done with more singing and less talk.
Come on, Viv, don't be shy.
She's standing with her hands behind her back like a kid about to recite.
Oh, shut up, Blanche. Well, I haven't got much to say.
Yeah.
Oh, horrible thing. Except, happy Christmas to everyone in House 8 from House 7, and we've made you a present.
Well, what is it?
A present?
Where is it?
This is like a real Christmas.
Well, here it is with our love.
Stand by the Christmas tree, Viv.
Well, let's see. What is it?
Oh, it's a kangaroo.
Oh,
a little kangaroo.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? Look, it's got a joey in its pouch.
What did you make it out of?
A piece of old khaki shirt stuffed with rags and things.
Oh, it's a beauty.
We'll keep it for our mascot. Well, now I think it's time for morning tea. Come on, Sister Trotter. We'll bring it in.
The cooks had come to the fore and, with the help of us all, produced an amazing party tea. For once, there seemed to be plenty to eat. We'd all been saving up for it. We had coffee and tea with sugar and even a handmade cigarette to offer them afterwards. What with the Christmas tree, the luxury of being full and knowing there was another meal ahead of us, Christmas was not so bad at all, even in an internment camp. For Christmas dinner, we all sat at our table. Jenny's bed, the only piece of furniture except for a sideboard that was left in our house.
How's your steak, Jeff?
Tender as a baby's.
Oh,
sister. Jeffrey. My dear.
Tender as anything.
The fried onions are ambrosia. This is an absolute feast.
Oh, I know. Baked potatoes and real gravy.
Sister Trotter, Sister Blanche, if everyone's ready, we'll bring in our surprise.
Oh, wait till I get the last drop of gravy.
Oh, it's good.
Oh. Come on, Blanche. Oh, what can the surprise be? Oh, I feel so lovely and full.
Well, attention, everybody. Here comes the Christmas pudding.
A Christmas pudding?
What? Oh, well, is it a real one, Blanche, or another decorated tin?
A real one.
I wish we had some brandy to light it.
Sister Jane should have us all pie-eyed.
Well, Chris has made a drink she's called chili wine. Anyone game to try it?
No, Christmas comes but once a year. I'll try anything.
Do you want me to help Sister Jane's carving the pudding?
I can manage, thank you, Sister Jeffrey. Here's your piece.
Thank you.
Here you are, Jeff. Want some of this chili stuff?
Mm. Oh, this pudding's terrific. How did you girls make it?
Some brown rice, a few peanuts, beans, cinnamon, and gula.
Oh, it's a work of art. And awfully good to eat.
Cough it up, old thing. Don't choke to death.
Oh, that awful stuff.
What, the chili wine? You should drink it slowly. You sip it and roll it around your tongue. Not gulp it down in great draughts.
It's like swallowing fire. It'll probably burn our insides out. What are you trying to do to us, Chris?
Well, here we are, everyone. To top off your Christmas dinner, there's a piece of coconut ice for everyone.
Where did you get that from?
Three Dutch women from House 14 gave it to us.
Aren't people wonderful? You've got your breath back yet, Truck?
More or less.
Oh, what a wonderful party.
It was a wonderful party. And after it, we lay about yarning and sleeping and reveling in the feeling of having had a really satisfying meal.
Oh, if I were at home now, I'd probably be doing exactly the same thing as I'm doing here.
And what's that?
Sitting in a state of half stupor from eating too much. Oh.
Not too much, Trot. I don't think any of us will ever be able to eat too much again.
Don't talk so loud. I want to go to sleep.
Australia!
Oh, no, they can't be going to do anything to spoil this day, surely.
Here is message to you, English and Australia. You can read.
What? What sort of message?
It's three messages. One from England, one from America, and one from Australia.
Who from?
Well, ours is signed by our Prime Minister. It says, Australia sends greetings. Keep smiling. Signed, Curtin.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.